Hello, Delco. This is Michael Barkan, welcoming you to the Good Neighbor Podcast, where fans of local businesses and their neighbors come together. It's my pleasure once again to introduce my friend and neighbor, our host, Bob Lacey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Good Neighbor Podcast for the residents of Delaware County and beyond. As the announcer mentioned, Bob Lacey is my name, and I'm here to kind of present businesses of our community. And you'll see on our screen here with me right now is Brett Cartarelli. And Brett is a local businessman from Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, and his business is Rough Tick Designs Incorporated. Welcome, Brett.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brett, when I asked that you could be on this program, I did so because even the name of your business, Rough Tick Designs, could be representing a couple different thoughts. And I think that's great because you want some curiosity in the minds of people who look at your business. But Rough Tick, it's an interesting name because it almost sounds rough, but it really is Rough Tick for a reason. And why don't you tell the listeners that your business has to do with live edge, another word that they might not be familiar with. What does Rough Tick Designs actually do?
We make custom-made furniture, custom-made build-outs. We do, 100-year-old barn mantles. The rustic part of what we do is we try to take a living organism that's been cut down, sliced up to use, but we try to keep it in its rawest form because that's where the beauty is.
I think we've all kind of seen that custom furniture, often with a really nice, smooth, shiny top. And I think I've seen the most as like bar tops or even coffee tables. But what other kind of furniture would there be that people are using live edge or finished woodwork like that?
So I've built chairs out of live edge wood. It's wood. You can pretty much build anything that you would like out of it. And the more raw that you keep it, I think the more texture you get out of a piece of wood. It's not just a flat square board.
Right. And average homeowner, by the time you bought some furniture, I think we all recognize oak. Some of us would kind of recognize walnut or maple, but is there any other specialty woods? I know like cherry wood would be one. What's the highly most desired kind of wood to make certain kinds of furniture?
A lot of people like maple. Maple is a very blonde color. You can stain it pretty much any color you want. It's a hardwood. I would say maple, black walnut, and the oak family, white oak and red oak. They're probably the main four that people like to make furniture out of because it's so nice looking.
Right. Well, Brett, can you share with me a little bit how Rough Tick Designs is becoming known in the community of Newtown Square, Delaware County, or beyond? And I'm sure it's beyond because it's specialized service. But are you from that same area that the business is in? Do you reside in that community?
Yeah, I live in Newtown Square. I originally came from, when I was a little kid, I lived in Overbrook, moved to Havertown when I was six. And then me and my wife got in an apartment over in Bryn Mawr for a few years when I was 26. And then we bought our first house in Newtown Square. This is where we wanted to raise our family. It's a great town.
How many children do you have, Brett?
I have three. My daughter, Addison, who's 13. My daughter, Taylor, who's 11. And Blake, who is 8.
Oh, that's a perfect age family.
Yeah, so two girls and a boy. I got my boy at the end.
Yeah, that's right. And Brett, I have to say, as a self-employed person with children that young, it is a blessing because you can kind of make your own time. But it's also a weight because you are the one making the salary. Tell me, is your business such that you had kind of invested in the skill prior and then came away from a kind of a job similar and now work for yourself? Or what was your path leading up to being self-employed craftsman?
I went to Aston Votech, Fallcroft, and then Aston Votech. I graduated from Aston for carpentry. I knew I didn't want to go to college. As a young kid, my parents bought a 100-year-old 7-bedroom house in Havertown. And, my mom had some knowledge of woodworking, but she grabbed electrical books and plumbing books and carpentry books and cabinet making books. And she grabbed all these books and started reading and became this, she became a carpenter in my eyes. She was always an artist, painting and doing ceramics, and she worked for Sears doing the window displays. So she had a knack. She was an artist. She had an eye for everything. But she ended up just, I'm going to pull this window out and replace this window, or this window's stuck, I'm going to pull it apart and I'm going to fix it. And she learned how to do all that stuff, just on her own, and with just family and friends and some neighbors, she took that house from this 100-year-old house to a really nice place for us to live.
That's fantastic. You don't usually hear the mom being the inspiration for carpentry, but I can see that it came from her being an artist at heart. And I imagine then that you are as well. To that point, do you find that most of your clients are looking at your art, looking at your designs and saying, gee, that's beautiful, I want that? Or are they actually coming in with the kind of half knowledge of what they want, but they can't really get it all out? And then that's where your artistry comes in and says, I think I understand what you have in mind. Now let me design.
Yeah, absolutely. People come in with inspirational photos. And even when they call me on the phone, I say, do you have a photo of sort of what you want? So, I have people who bring 10 photos in, and we basically, you make a storyboard out of all these photos going, I like the finish on this one, but I like the two-tone color of the woods on this one. You know, so you have to pick and pull from their brain of what they're trying to think of. And I can visualize things in my head that some people can't when it comes to working with wood. Some people just work with dimensional lumber. That's completely fine. That's you can make all different kinds of stuff with that. You're working with the live edge stuff, you don't have a straight line on anything to go off of. So you got to kind of figure out how to do it with the client's help in telling us what they want. We can come up with a beautiful piece of furniture, a beautiful art piece for their house, whatever they're looking for.
Right. You know, it just clicked. It really just clicked, Brett, that the live edge. I mean, I thought I knew what you were talking about, but now I really get it. It's, and for the listeners, I mean, we all have seen it. It's beautiful, polished, shiny wood, but the edge of it is still left with, I don't want to say bark, but you can tell that it's once was a tree, you know, that's what the live edge purpose is, right? And
it leaves that wavy character into the piece of wood instead of, like I said, just having a square rectangle of a piece of wood with routed edges. Now you have this beautiful flow of nature just in your house. My dining room table in my house is a one piece 48 inch by 7 foot long piece of tree, that we put 100-year-old barn beam legs on, and you just get this really cool, unique piece of furniture.
Yeah, because the length of it, say, are not squared, they're not straight, but they're straight enough, and it's that non-straight look, but with the look of a live edge that is really making it attractive. And I think certainly the thing that makes it attractive is the finish that's put on it. Beautiful, like it's layers of stain and that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. Not stain, but what would make it shine. So now that we're kind of focused in on what live edge is, and again, I keep going back to the rough tick name because it's rough, live edge. Yep. It makes sense. But it also is kind of fun because that's a lot of heavy wood to pick up. You have to be kind of I would imagine you have to be a strong person. You have to be, a guy who really kind of loves a little bit of a rough edge. And you certainly don't have sound like you have a rough edge, but you have a heart for the rough edge. That in itself is a misconception in a way. But what is the misconception of the live edge business? What do people think coming in? And you have to kind of reset them a little bit to understand what this is going to mean in creating a piece of art.
It's the piece of wood is already the character. You're to cut into a piece of wood like that and to make a weird shape out of it and lose those live edge things. People have the misconception of, the live edge is dirty. It's, it's in the eye of the beholder, I guess you could say. So, but a lot of the people who come in here, they're coming here for a reason. This is what we do. We work with live edge wood because we know how to work with it.
I think now that I'm getting it, and I recognize that the number one thing that I suddenly now have to kind of recognize is live edge furniture are all one of a kind. And I guess there's manufacturing companies out there that could imitate Live Edge, and maybe it's even imitating that they're all unique. But in your craftsmanship, they are all unique. And in that sense, they're either made to order, the design that someone has in mind, and then you take it to the level that they're not even fully visualizing, or you know, they're coming in with a really clear example, but they know that you're going to be creating a work of art for them. They know that it's going to outlive them, and really, you're probably creating family heirlooms, I would think.
I've had a lot of people say, "I can't wait to hand this down to my kids," just That's because beautiful. they like the piece so much. The first really cool Live Edge thing I made was a bench, and it had no screws. Everything was made of wood. The wooden butterflies that we had to put in it to hold the piece together, the wooden wedges that we pushed the leg up through the top and wedged the top and then cut it flat. It'll never come apart. But it was a wedding bench. This client took the bench to their wedding and had everybody sign it and then brought it back to me, and I polyurethaned it. So instead of putting a flat photo on your wall, they had this really cool bench that people signed that I thought was, I was like, this is really cool. I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is a work of art, and it would be a family heirloom. I also kind of feel that a bit, you know, in one sense, Brett, and by the way, the listeners, we're talking with Brett Cartarelli, who is the owner of Rough Tick Designs, and that's Rough Tick, R-U-F-T-I-C, Rough Tick Designs in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Brett, I have to say, in case you're not recognizing it, that even what we're doing right here now, a podcast, and which will be published to the internet, it will probably outlive us on the internet, just like your furniture. But
100 years from now, somebody's going to look back on this video and go, yeah, wow, they knew what they were talking about.
Right, or that was, you know, that was the Brett Cartarelli. Yeah, I happen to own a Brett Cartarelli. Do you sign these things, Brett?
Yeah, we put a stamp on them sometimes. Sometimes I'll put my signature on it as well if I think it's a really cool, unique piece. Yeah, so we try to get our name out there as best as we can, and a lot of our stuff is word of mouth. You know, I've had people go into someone else's house and go, "Wait a minute, who built that for you? Oh my, they built this for me." You know, and then I get a text message, "Hey, I went to a house the other night and I saw your pretty cool thing that you made, you know, that, you know, it looked fantastic. And thanks for what you did for us as well." So I'm trying to build friendships, and I'm trying to build trust that anybody in the community and surrounding communities, that they can call us and get the product that they want without having to be overcharged or somebody taking their money and running off and not finishing the job.
That's powerful.
Misconception also of contractors as well as myself and the guys who work here. We don't want people to feel that we are coming into their house and we're going to take their money and never finish their job. And sometimes that's a lot to get over, walking into a job site, you know, with them already having that in mind.
It's a big product. It's a big price tag. I'm sure it's live, it's original. So that trust is absolutely needed. You working in your community, we find, you know, I'm a publisher of magazines, and we find that our really the people in the community that are business owners in the community, they might even have advertisements in our magazine. They live in our community. Their need to be a high integrity business is important because they live here. They live and they shop with people and they see their neighbors. In your case, you have people becoming customers of yours from even much farther out, I would imagine, because of the artistry. You also have to kind of ship heavy stuff. I mean, where's the farthest job from Pennsylvania that you ever had to kind of create something here in your shop, but then ship out or truck out?
It was actually my wife's cousin in Long Island, New York. They wanted built-ins next to their fireplace, which is something we do. They had a gas fireplace put in and it was stoned. And then we came in and put cabinets, 100-year-old barn beam countertops with shelves above it, and a 100-year-old barn mantle with custom made corbels out of the same material.
I can picture it.
That's the furthest we've been so far. You know, we do a lot of work in Downingtown. You know, but it's a lot of local people and a lot of local stuff. We do commercial.
Tri-state area here in Delaware County. for listeners out there who maybe are not from Pennsylvania, Delaware County, Pennsylvania is right at the corner, southeast corner of Pennsylvania. It's got a very rare border. The only border of its kind in the U.S. map, it's made by a compass. You know, that little hooky curl, which is the top of the state of Delaware. It's actually a circle done with a compass on the map that set the border. As I mentioned, we have spoken with here Brett Cartarelli of Rough Tick Designs in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Brett, I would ask some of our guests on the Good Neighbor podcast, if you weren't doing this job for your business, and not all of them are owners, what would you be doing? Now, that's a question to you, but I find it very interesting because most people would say, you know, I'd quit this job and go become a carpenter because I want to work in my workshop. This is your job. So, you know, as a family man, and if it wasn't doing carpentry here, what would you do if you were not the owner of Rough Tick Designs?
So when I was young and hanging out in the bars and stuff, I actually I had my own detailing business for about 12 years. So I detailed cars. I got enjoyment out of that. That was pretty cool. I mean, we took my buddy's mom's car, took all the seats out of it, buffed it up, cleaned the whole thing. We gave it back to her and she goes, "Did you guys buy me a new car?" We were like, "No." She was like, "You bought me a new car." I was like, "No, we did not. This is what we do." And she was just so captivated with, we brought the color back to this old dingy car. And maybe it would be like detailing and maybe modifying, putting, you know, different headlights in and stuff like that. Something simple. I like working with my hands, so it would have to be something that I could work with my hands.
Well, you see the similarity there, Brett, don't you? And I'm sure our listeners do. You were taking a kind of a Rough Tick car and putting a kind of a beautiful edge on it. So the artistry is always there, I'm sure, with your family life, your neighbors. You're probably the same way. You're probably trying to make your community better by bringing your skills and your personality to bear in your community. And for that, with this nomination that was given to us as you being a good neighbor, good business neighbor to the community in our area, congratulations. You're going to get the Good Neighbor pin award, really. It's really an emblem that you can use in your business. And we want to thank you for being a guest here on the Good Neighbor podcast. Brett, if our listeners want to contact you, or, you know, stop by the company, do you want to share what the address or the URL would be or the phone number?
My address, it's 3606 Winding Way in Newtown Square. Our shop number is 610-325-1018. Email is brettvcartarelli@gmail.com. If you look up Rough Tick Designs, our website will come up, and then you can pretty much access from anywhere through Facebook. I think Instagram as well. So I'm not very computer oriented, so some of this stuff falls under the radar sometimes. But we'll get back to you, and we hope to hear from some people.
Well, thank you, Brett, and thank you again for being a good neighbor on the Good Neighbor podcast here in Delaware County, Delco, as it's lovingly referred to. Brett, thank you very much for being a guest on our program today, and one of the perks of being a guest on our program, being nominated and then becoming the good neighbor for businesses in the community, you're going to get to name and nominate another business that you think is a good neighbor in our community. So we want to thank you very much for being a guest on our program. And listeners, feel free to pass this podcast message along. You too can also become a nominator of a business for the Good Neighbor podcast here in Delco. The URL is gnpdelco.com. This is Bob Blasey saying thank you for listening, and please listen in again for the Good Neighbor podcast. Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Brett,
very much, Bob,
for being our guest.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor podcast, hosted by Bob Blasey. This is Michael Barkan inviting everyone to get on the Good Neighbor team. Nominate your favorite local business to be featured on an upcoming episode by going to gnpdelco.com or by calling Bob at 610-557-3745.